Accession number 30907, reel 1.
Interview with Lieutenant Malcolm Reed, Royal Navy, ex St. Vincent Boy, 1950. Interview conducted by Ernie Smith on 26th of March 2007.
There we go.
Right, Malcolm, what I'd like to start off with is by asking you some details about your background. What year, what month were you born, date of birth?
18th of April, 1934.
Right. And where were you born, Malcolm?
In Reading.
Right. Did you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I've got one brother. He's about 18 months younger than I. And he lives, currently he's living in Scotland, in Edinburgh.
And what did your father do for a living?
My father, well, of course I don't remember the pre-war years too much, but he basically was a commercial traveller in the cigarette, with a cigarette firm.
Right. And your mother, did she work during the war at all?
Oh yes, she worked during the war, because about a quarter of a mile from her home there was a laundry, and my school was actually taken over by the Americans during the war as a hospital. And she worked in the laundry, and basically she was washing all the Americans' laundry for them.
Right. And school, where did you go to school?
I just go to school. Well, I started school in, 1939, I suppose, when I was five-ish, yes. Stayed in the same school throughout my schooling time. So I obviously went into the infants at five, and went into the juniors, then up to the what they call the central school in those days. There was, when you got to sort of the 11 plus area or era, you either went into Wilson School Seniors or Wilson School Central. The central was the higher part bit of it, and so I went into Wilson School Central. Mixed school.
Can you remember anything about the war?
Oh yes, yeah. I can remember seeing a German aircraft. We were very lucky in Redden during the war. We had about two or three bombs, and unfortunately it landed on what's called a people's pantry. It was like a restaurant during the war, and the bomb actually fell on there, and there was a few people killed, but that's all we had. Lots of aircraft warnings, though, because the Germans would tend to use Reading perhaps as some sort of staging post en route for London. Well, some aircraft did anyway. So the sirens went, and I could see the searchlights, and my mother said, come away from those windows. And but I said, well, there's so many searchlights, there's no problem. There's the aircraft around, come away. So I had to, but I did see, remember seeing the searchlights. Yeah. And I remember towards the end of the war, of course, all the gliders going over to Europe. I can remember them being towed across our skies over Reading.
And at the end of the war, did you have any recollections of any parties you
had? Oh, yes, yes. I can remember my mother taking me down the road to see the lights switched on again. That's a big thing, to see the street lights come on again. And most roads in Reading had a bonfire. An opportunity to get rid of all your rubbish, of course. But anyway, in the street, massive bonfire. And they did, the elderly people, were not elderly, but the mums and dads of those days, and the grandparents, of course, did their utmost and make cakes and jelly. I think they had some jelly. I don't think there was much ice cream around those days, but certainly we had something to remember by. Put tables up in the streets and have a nice little party. And of course we knew most of the youngsters of their own age, of course.
So at the end of the war you would have been about eight?
Well, I was born in 45, I would have been 11. Yes. My father was away during most of the war. I also jokingly say to him when he came home again, because he went to Sierra Leone, I said, what war are you fighting out there? Well, he said, don't be so cheeky. But anyway, he was away. He was in Dunkirk, by the way. He was off the beaches at Dunkirk.
So, Malcolm, end of war, 1945.
Yes.
You were an 11-year-old lad.
Yes.
So you must have then gone up to a different school, I guess.
No, well, up to the central school. So all the same school, Wilson School. It's still there in Reading. Wilson School. But just one thing about the end of the war, I do remember my father being detailed off. He was a sergeant, quartermaster sergeant in Royal Engineers by now, and he was taking part in a victory parade in London with a rifle, and he brought his 303 home. So there was me at my back garden without his knowledge, obviously no bullets, but I was loading it and bang, shooting it, pretending to shoot birds with a 303. What the neighbours thought, I don't know, but still, nothing happened.
So you stayed in that school until you were how old?
15.
15, and
yes.
Then?
Well, when I was 15, I always recall going down to Reading Town and seeing a book in perhaps W.H. Smith, I don't remember what shop, but there's a photograph of two chaps smoking pipes, but they were in the uniform of a writer, and I'm sure that the listeners to this programme will know what a writer is. I wanted to be a writer because I was interested in bookkeeping at school. And so I went to the recruiting office and said to this recruiting chief, "Come in, boy, come in, boy. What do you want to be in the Navy?" I said, "Writer, hard luck, you're too young." I said, "Well, I'm 15. He said, "No, we don't have boy writers in the Royal Navy." Since then, I have found out they did have boy writers. However, I was told at the time, 1949, "Sorry, no boy writers. Would you like to be a boy seaman?" "What's a boy seaman then?" He said, "Oh, it's lovely." So I signed a form there and then went home and told my mum, "It's entirely up to you." I think my dad was a bit disappointed because he was at Army all during the war, and before the war he was a Territorial Army.
At this stage, did you have any hobbies at all, or did you enjoy
Not
sports?
Not really, no. Well, we'll say hobbies, yes. I suppose fishing, yes. A load of us lads at school always going fishing down to the River Thames, and in those days it's quite safe to go down to the bank, a jam sandwich, bottle of lemonade, and sit there all day and catch a few roach and a few perch.
Were you sporting at all in any
no,
way?
No, not really, no. It wasn't my... I played sport, of course, but I was never, ever achieved the standards which school required to get into the first team or cricket team, anything like that, yes.
So, you were invited to join the Navy. What happened then?
Well, I remember going down to Southampton for a medical and an interview and a written examination. Now, the written examination was absolutely no problems whatsoever because the central school, we were doing at school things like trigonometry and mensuration, what else did we do? Shorthand I did at school, all those sort of things. It's a very, very good education. During the war, where they got the staff from, I don't know. Plus, I did tell you that my school was taken over by the Americans during the war. So we were educated in the public library, in a school hall down the road, Methodist church, any hall available, we were educated. So it's a very mixed, and how my mother remembered which school I had to go to that day or which hall to go to that day, I never know. But of course, a couple of years after the war, the school was returned to us.
So, Southampton, joining the Navy?
Yes.
And where did you go from there?
Oh, well, then from joining the Navy, you know, the standard letter came through the post. You've been selected to join the Royal Navy in the boys' service. Report to HMS St Vincent, Gosport, at a certain time and date. Down by train, and in those days, the train went right down to Gosport station. I got off the station. There was a petty officer. Oh, I didn't know what he was at the time, but he looked a man with lots of stripes on his arm, and he told us very politely to get into the lorry. As soon as he went through the gates of St Vincent, he was a bit nastier. It wasn't a case of, "Come on, lads," he was shouting at us. What have I let myself in for?
Now, what date was this?
When I joined the Navy?
Yes.
If I may refer to my service docs, here are Boy Seaman, Second Class, 8th of November, 1949.
Right. So, you can you remember the first few days in the Navy?
Down the nozzles, down the new entries. And a standard procedure, all the boys who'd done their new entry training will shout out the windows, "You'll be sorry," all that sort of stuff. It still goes on, well, it doesn't go on today, of course, but it went on for many years. Yes. That sort of welcome to St Vincent from the older boys, yes, who thought they knew it all. But
On the day that you arrived, you said that you arrived at
St Vincent.
Portsmouth Harbour Station.
No, Gosport.
Oh, Gosport Station. Yeah, there was a station in Gosport in those days. So how did you get from the station to St Vincent?
Oh, by a lorry, by this, as I say, this man who had lots of stripes on his arm. Yeah. I now soon learned he was a petty officer. You had to call him sir. And he was very polite. Into the lorry, lads. Come on, boys, into the lorry. But as soon as he got through the gates, he's a different man. He started shouting.
So you joined the new entry block.
Yes.
And what was the first week? What happened to you?
Well, the first week it was a bit harsh. I mean, it was a very good introduction to keeping your uniform. You know, it had to be measured for a uniform, measured for a right cap. And I do recall the day I got my cap, I put it on the back of my head, like old Jack Tar. I would shout it again. Then, of course, as ex-service people know, you're going to made a stamp, you know, made of wood with your initials on there, and black paint, and stamp all your underwear, stamp all your kit with your name on it.
Right. Now, also, I understand that that St Vincent used to teach you to sew your name. What was that all about?
Well, that was obviously when all the stuff went to the laundry. There was hundreds of boys there. I can't remember the exact number, but of course you put all this stuff into the washing machines. We didn't do it, it's all done for us. But when you went to collect your white fronts and your vests and your underwear, you had to look for your name on it, otherwise someone else might take it by mistake.
So your name,
but the red silk, sorry, you did ask a question about the red. Yeah. And then also to assist the black stamp, you had to sew your name into your woolen pullover, which is of course navy blue, and black paint on that wouldn't show up very well, so you had to sew your name in. And I was very fortunate, M. Reed. There's a chap there by the name of Jekylls. W.Z. Jekylls, I think his name was, but anyway, he had to put J-E-C-K-E, there's me, R-E-E-D, dead easy.
So how long did you stay in new entries?
Six or 8 weeks. I think it's 8 weeks, more like 8 weeks, yes.
Yes.
Then it was Christmas leave, of course.
Yes. So you were given how long leave?
I think it's standard 14 days leave, yes.
Right.
Which I went home, I had to go and wear a uniform, march from St Vincent Gate down to Portsmouth Harbour, into the Gosport Ferry, cross into Portsmouth, then Portsmouth Harbour, up to Guildford to change for Reading.
So what... How did you carry your clothing home? What did
you... Kit bag. We weren't allowed to have suitcases. We were much too young for having a suitcase. We probably took suitcases in, and I probably recall that we had to take those suitcases back home on that first leave, plus your kit bag on the shoulder.
Right. In those days, what was your pay per week?
Boys' seaman second class, it was 28 shillings a week, of which you could retain 3 6 months, and the rest was put into the post office savings bank for you. Okay. So 3 6 months a week.
Yes. And your clothing, if your clothing wore out or you lost it, how did you replace that?
You had to, if you lost it or so, that's your problem. You had your name sewn in it to it, so it's very difficult for someone to actually, so we say, borrow it or purloin it, because it means you've got to unpick all the stitches where you put the red silk in with your name. However, it never happened to me. And you had to somehow fork out. There were certain issues. I think the Navy realised that certain things do wear out. But like socks, for example, okay, you get a big hole, so you're taught how to darn socks. If you rip your trousers, you tend to be shown how to stitch up your trousers which you've snagged on something, on those lines.
So you went into the mainstream, as it were, and what happened then? How were you divided? What was the system?
Yeah, the system was you either became an AC boy, that's advanced class, or GC boy, general class. As I said, I had a very good education, so I went into the AC boys, and we were in Blake 142. The block has now been demolished, but it was right directly behind the mast was our block. I think it's Quiberon block was the name of it, but we were Blake Division 142 class.
And how many boys would have been in your class?
Oh, about 15. Yes, I'm guessing a bit now, but it's about 15.
And you mentioned you were in Blake Division. How many boys would be in a division?
Oh, now that's, you've caught me now. I'm going to take a guess now. There's, when we were there, I remember Blake 136 were there. So perhaps it's about 4 or 5 times 60-odd boys.
Yeah.
About 60. Right. Yeah. I stand corrected there.
Yes. And the hierarchy would have been what? You would have had an officer in charge of you?
Oh, we had an officer in charge and chief petty officers and two petty officers.
Yes.
I remember them quite clearly.
Yes.
One was Petty Officer Thompson, GI. Watch what I say now, because he did have a pickaxe handle. I have photographs at home, and every Friday night you bent over your bed, regardless if you missed, did anything wrong or not, and we all got whacked. And we thought it was quite humorous. Not at the time it wasn't humorous, because you ran all down the dormitory. But because all the boy, all the class had a whack, good. Everyone was treated the same. It wasn't too bad, but it's when you tell people now that you whack with a pickaxe handle. I have photographs of the petty officer GI with that pickaxe handle.
So you're talking about punishment. What other sorts of punishment?
I can't remember the exact numbers. Perhaps they've changed. Six, was it number tens, was it? Or I can't remember all the exact numbers.
Yeah.
But you could be detailed off to double round the parade ground with a rifle. Then I think the Navy decided to have broomsticks a bit lighter, make it a bit lighter, because those Rose 303 rifles are very heavy to bubble above your head and double and run the parade ground for an hour or so. But again, it was punishment, it was harsh, but we somehow enjoyed it. Not at the time, but when you talk and relate those incidents to people now, you say, well, yes, it's good training. It made you a very disciplined person. Okay, you had the odd skate and the odd person who Navy was not for them, and I think we lost about two. They just couldn't stand the pace, and they were discharged, fairly honourable discharge, you know.
Was corporal punishment still in?
Oh,
in
yes,
evidence?
Oh, yes, the master at arms was there. Can't remember his name now, but there was a master at arms there, and anyone authorised by the captain to have six strokes of the cane, you were marched over to the office by the main gate. And the doctor, of course, was there, and the petty officer was there. Regulating petty officer would be watching and witnessing, and the master arms would carry out the punishment.
Food. What sort of food did you have in those days?
Food was... I got no regrets about the food. It was... all the boys in turn were detailed off to go and fetch the food from the galley, dish it up, and then you all sat down together when the duty officer came in and said, sit down boys, start your food, because it's all dished up. You all stood behind it, you could see it steaming nice and hot, and it got cooler. Then the officer came in and said, sit down boys and have your lunch, or dinner as he'd called it.
Did you have any way of with your food, getting extra food at all? Did you have any there? Or
yes, well, out of that 306 once, if you could afford it, because I had a girlfriend in Gosport, I was allowed to see her 2 hours a week. I took her to the pictures criteria. I was making sixpence entrance, five woodbines, and I bought some cake or sweets in a nappy. But only had 3 and 6 months. You were not allowed to receive money, but in additional food, a lot of mums sent them food parcels. And I always remember one chap's mum sent him an iced cake, ice cream cake. It was rather melted, but we did enjoy it when we got it.
Did you mentioned about going ashore. How often were you allowed ashore?
I think it was about once a week, Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon, from about 1 till 5, I think it was, 1 till 4. Fairly. Time to see a cinema show anyway, because I had that girlfriend who took the pictures on a couple of occasions. She might have paid, I can't remember now, a long time ago. However, you couldn't get up to much mischief in those few hours ashore. Plus, of course, you were on your best behaviour.
Yes. obviously St Vincent was renowned for its mast. Did you have any experiences of climbing the mast?
Oh yes, yes, yes. As new entries, going back to the new entry times, you looked at that mast when you was on a parade where I marched around or Dublin around, said, I've got to climb that next term when I become in the main course. And I don't think too many boys worried about it. There was no real safety net. Well, there was a net there, but all the senior boys, other classes, would shout down, that net is unsafe, don't fall into it. And so I don't recall anyone in that year, I was there in 1950, falling into the net. No, they hung on for dear life as you went up. And it was obviously at the start a bit frightening, a bit worrying, but because all the boys in your class had to do it, no one failed, and I'm not, I know, most of these boys perhaps subconsciously said to themselves, I'm not going to be the failure, I'll go over that mast. And you eventually got to the top. Mm-hmm. And later on in 1950, when I wasn't sure that I wasn't due for shore leave that Saturday or Sunday, I would actually go up there and sit at the top there. And it's a lovely day, it's a beautiful view up there. So you went up there with permission, of course. There's always a petty officer around the area just in case there was an accident. So towards the end, I used to go up there with my chum, who both got the top there. There's only room for one at the very top, but the other chap took me taking turns to go to the very top, but then come down again.
I've heard tell of something called the Lover's Hole and the Futtock Shrouds. Do you know anything about that at all?
No.
Okay, then. So, how long did you spend in St Vincent?
I left St Vincent on the 10th of November 1950.
Right. Just before you left, was there any ceremonial you had to...
ceremonial, I had your kit for inspection, yes. And that had to be really spot on. Not a hair out of place, or a hair brush with a hair in it, or comb had to be cleaned. Everything was laid out for inspection by the captain. Standard routine.
How was it laid out? Was it folded or...
All rolled? Folded, rolled up, strung up a piece of white tape. And the photographs which are available... there's some immaculate lands out, but as soon as you've done your kit inspection, throw all into a kit bag, ready to go off on your first go to your first ship.
Yes, just going back before we leave St Vincent, what other ceremonials did you have in the way of parades and divisions and things?
Oh yes, there was divisions weekly, and of course it was, you all in turn took charge of your class, just to exercise your power command sort of thing, and you were in charge of your class. You would salute the captain or whoever was inspecting the parade that week, and that was normally on a Sunday morning, divisions they called it.
Did you have any opportunity of playing any musical instruments there? Boys have a band? Was there a band there?
A band, but I was not in it, no. Right. I think I mastered the bosun's call,
right.
And on examination of my plan of bosun's call, I was awarded the chain rather than a lanyard, which is great because never had to wash your lanyard and get nice and clean. You wore a chain rather.
Was a mark of you being a bosun's call mate. Or
that's what they call it. Yes, yeah. Plus, of course, I like shooting the 2.2 rifle. And I became a marksman, but I used to wear a badge on my arm with a rifle. I was proficient in firing a 2.2.
What sort of education did you have in St Vincent?
Oh, because I was AC boy, they did concentrate on education for us. And of course, it was proper schoolmasters in those days with the blue or the purple stripe between their gold rings. Since those days, I have come across some ex-schoolmasters of mine, and they were very good. They were very efficient people, and we did learn a lot from them. And we sat, because we're AC boys, ET1, ET2 examinations, which you had to pass to get promotion in the Navy.
That's educational test.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, that's it. And we did all those at St Vincent, got those out of the way. No problems whatsoever, because most of us boys were AC, well, all the boys were AC boys, and those tests were not really hard at all. They're quite basic.
At what stage were you promoted from boys second class to boys first class?
Oh, that's back to St Vincent now.
Yes.
On the 15th of April 1950, I was made boy seaman first class.
Right, so and after about 6 months.
Yeah,
so.
I then got £5 a week.
Right, okay.
Of which the rest was put in the post office savings bank for me.
So your total time in St Vincent was about a year, was it?
It was 8th of November 49 to the 15th. 10th of November, 10th of November 1950, is about a year and 2 days.
Right. So you left St Vincent, you had your kit master, and then you went off to your first ship.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
HMS Whirlwind. Yes. I always remember it, and I can mention names now. There was a lieutenant, his name's gone. There's two lieutenants, John Templeton Cotill. Made admiral in the end, but John Templeton Cotill was my division officer aboard the Whirlwind, my first ship, based in Rosyth. That was a boys' training flotilla or squadron. Whirlwind, Wizard, Wrangler, all those ships were boys' training.
So, what sort of training did you do? Well, first of all, let's talk about when you went on board. Who met you?
Oh, the division officer.
How many boys actually went with you to?
All the St Vincent boys came, and we joined up with some ex-Ganges boys. They came.
To the Whirlwind?
I got the wrong ship there. No, just the Vincent boys went to Whirlwind.
Whirlwind. Yes. So how many would there be?
About 15 of us.
So that would be your class?
Yes.
All went to the same ship?
Yes. The GC boys went off to aircraft carrier, Implacable in those, but the AC boys went to the boys' train in Rosyth.
Right. So you... went up to Rosyth.
Yes.
And what happened? When you were out at the station, you can remember, were you met by anybody? How did you get to the ship?
I don't recall that. I can only assume someone would have met us at the station and got into Loris again and taken down to the dockyard. I don't think the train went into the dockyard, but however, someone I know in authority would have met us boys. We fell in and marched properly into the dockyard and join air first ship.
Yes. Now, at this stage, were you issued, when you left St Vincent, were there any other clothing you were issued? You issued with
your
a hammock?
Your sea suit, you had real bell-bottom trousers now.
Yes.
You thought you were a bee's knees because you've got that, and that was your best, that's your number one suit.
Yes.
Best suit. Nice bell-bottoms, and we're very proud of that.
Were you issued with a hammock?
Oh, yes, two hammocks.
Two hammocks.
Yes.
And bedding?
Yes, there'll be a mattress, of course, and blankets and a pillow. A lot of boys, I think, brought their own pillows back from when they went on leave and some pillow slips and that sort of thing, but it wasn't compulsory. The Navy would issue you pillow slip sheeting. I've still got a sheet at home now, which was 1950 era. When we have, if we have a party in the garden now, it makes a lovely tablecloth. Mm.
So you arrived on board, met by a division officer.
Yes.
What happened then?
When you got settled into your mess deck the very first time, or a ship's mess deck, that is, of course, you have to scrub the tables, that's all the things you do at St Vincent, but this time, of course, it's much smaller. So she's only a destroyer, it was Whirlwind, or a frigate. I think she was a frigate, really, but they called her a destroyer. And... you had to learn how to cook the mess, prepare the food, peel the potatoes, all that sort of thing. Take it to the galley, regardless of the ship was being thrown around, because it was quite choppy out there at sea at times. But you had to learn. That's what you're in the Navy for.
So how many boys were in your mess deck?
There was about 15 of us. In that.
And who was in charge of the mess deck?
There would be a petty officer in charge of boys training. I can't remember his name.
Right. Would you have had a leading seaman down there at all?
I don't recall a leading seaman there, but certainly there was a petty officer in charge, and there could well have been a leading seaman, but he obviously made no impression on me, so I can't even remember his name.
So there was no other hierarchy living in the mess deck other than the boys?
Just the boys, yeah.
Right, okay.